We enjoyed our time of running around and having a vacation, and that was refreshing and enjoyable. And I do thank the Lord for the folks who did some teaching and preaching last week. John Pellis on Wednesday teaching the Bible study, and Mike Salvi on Sunday preaching the morning sermon there. And Mike happened to mention on the phone he went a little bit short, and I don't know. I remember the first time I preached 8 minutes. I thought that was about twice as long as I should have preached. But it's a blessing to see God's word go forth and help others. About a month ago, I was heading to Allegheny General Hospital in the middle of the day, and I had to go from one meeting to the hospital. And my wife, Regina, knew I was going to do that, and she asked me, would you want me to come along in case there's a lot of traffic so you know where to turn and how to get there and be safe and all that? And I said, well, today's kind of full, and no, don't come along today. And besides that, do you think I can't drive without you? And off I go in my car, and I wrecked the car that day. So don't... Don't let your pride get in the way of getting the help you need when it's offered, you might say. And in the Bible, God lets us know He's doing work, and He invites us to come along with Him so things can get done. In fact, 1 Corinthians 3 says we're fellow workers with God. We're co-laborers. And you think of all the wonderful things we get to participate along with the Lord about. Praying, He prays. He says, pray with Him. And sharing good news, He does it. He says, share this good news with me. All the great things that we do with God. But many things God does, He does alone, without our assistance. You might think when Jesus sings, sometimes He sings a cappella to the praise of God. And I really enjoy rejoicing in God's works when He does it alone, because it increases my trust in Him, gives Him great honor, I think, when we see Him do that, and it allows our hearts to follow Him better when we see how great He is. So when He asks us to co-labor, we go ahead and do it. The focus is on Christ in His solo works so often in the Bible and in our world today. Colossians chapter 3, verse 11 says, Christ is all. Probably 10,000 blessings came your way this week. And maybe in about 2,000 of them, you co-labored with God. But about 8,000, God did alone, just because of who He is. And for example, all the miracles of Jesus were examples of His single-handed work and power, just to mention a couple of them. Now, during that time, He invited prayer. He invited faith, but He had the power. He had the ability. For example, when He walked on water, the disciples weren't saying, come on, Jesus, we know you can do it. They were terrified. They needed help. And God does it. A work of salvation there, walks on water. When Lazarus rose from the dead, there was no apostles' prayer chain bringing him up out of that grave. The apostles were crying. They were sad. Didn't have any faith that Lazarus would come forth. Jesus says, Lazarus, come forth. Single-handed, solo work of God. When Jesus healed a demon-possessed man, God's word says nobody was strong enough to help the man. Nobody. Not the disciples, not anybody. Jesus goes and helps the man. You know, when there's evil too big for us, either outside of us or in our own hearts, He can help us. He can clothe us, put us in our right mind, which happened to the man. And just I want to mention this morning three great works of Christ that help us know Him, worship Him, and follow Him better, I believe. The first is the work of creation. Daryl pointed us to it effectively in the song, How Great Thou Art. God's single-handed act with no assistance from us. And as the mission presentation focused on His Word, creation focuses us on God's world. And every day God speaks to us in His Word and in His world. Whether a preacher preaches or you and I share the gospel, You know, God's preaching a sermon every day by what he made. It's a very effective sermon. Gets people's attention as to his power and greatness. But his creation is his single-handed act. It's through Christ. Through Christ was made all things. So he's the creator. Don't miss that. And I think as far as what is made around us, people and things, it's a great thing to think if you move in your world that God has sent you to, that every molecule that exists and you're able to see because they've come together in some kind of form, that's a work of Christ. That's his creation. And I think one of the few things I remember from one biology class I took in college was this, that matter at this point in history cannot be created or destroyed. That's something to think about. Matter can't be created or destroyed at this point in history. So I go to the store and I try to get a pair of sneakers that I need. And I'm looking for, you know, good sneakers, leather, or has some rubber on it and such. And I look at the sneakers, 90 varieties of sneakers I have to shift my way through. I find a pair and I see a tag that says man-made materials. Man-made materials? What are they talking about? I want to go to the clerk or to write Reebok or whoever and say, you realize none of the molecules in the sneaker was man-made at all. This is false advertising over here. It might be plastic, some molecules people have melted down and put together in a less than good way. The Lord made it in the first place. But it's not man-made materials. There's no man-made materials on planet Earth. All the molecules made by God. Put together by man in a certain way, that's good, but he made things. What tag do you put on your soul? Man-made materials? How about your walk with Christ? Is it man-made materials? Or is it a work of God, even in creation? He made you for himself. Psalm 100 says, it is he who made us. Not we ourselves. Not we ourselves. So you're precious to him. He's the best God-made material he has made, you and I, through his grace. Solomon said, I know everything God does endures forever. Nothing can be added to it. Nothing taken away. God does it so people respect and fear him. Wow, this is a God-made world. These are God-made people. Wow. And this gives us great respect for God and helps us want to follow him. Psalm 146 praises the Lord about this. He says, the Lord is maker of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them. On vacation, we got to see the Atlantic Ocean, second biggest body of water on planet Earth, in the universe, for that matter, that we know of. And walking along the beach one day, my wife Regina said, wow, look, something so huge and so powerful and so uncontrollable, and yet when we walk near it, it gives us such peace. Kind of what the ocean does as a creation of God. And creation shows us God like that. He is huge. He is powerful. He is uncontrollable. And we give our trust to him. He gives us such peace. A peace that we can't have by ourselves. You might not be able to take a trip to the Atlantic Ocean, but check out a sunset, check out a storm, check out a dandelion, and behold the work of God. And know he can give a peace because he has the power to do that. His work in creation, we give him honor for that. None of us can do it. Second great solo work Christ gives, one of many, would be the work of salvation. Wow, this is something that gets us connected to Christ, the work of salvation. One of the ways Jesus is introduced in the book of Revelation is with this phrase in Revelation chapter 13. Behold the Lamb of God who was slain from the creation of the world. There's something about our salvation or meeting our Savior that God planned and did before even time began. I don't understand that, but God can do it. And so before Calvary, Jesus was going to do the work of salvation at Calvary for us. Bloodshed for the forgiveness of sins. And God accomplished the work. He had a plan. And I think it's good when we say, I want Christ to be my Savior. I can't save myself. I think it's good we emphasize that receiving Him, and coming to Him by faith. Francis Schaeffer said, we come to Christ with the empty hands of faith. We know we need Him. And I think it's good to make a decision for Jesus. Follow Him. If you don't decide to follow Him, you'll be deciding to follow somebody else. But I think we should remember, and God pushes this hard in the Bible, that salvation is from the Lord. It's His work. We didn't have anything to do with it. When we think that God, His Son, not sparing, sent Him to die, we scarce can take it in. He bled and died to take away our sin. It was not us. It was Christ. One preacher said, the only thing we add to our salvation is the scars on Jesus' hands and feet. That was our work. But the work of God was the mercy and grace, forgiveness He gave. Psalm 146 promotes salvation and the results of being at peace with God in this manner. It says, the Lord gives food to the hungry. If you eat physically or spiritually, it's the Lord who gave you that food. The Lord sets the prisoner free. Sometimes I watch these TV shows about this prison and that prison, you know, and how rough it is. Worst prison in the world, maximum security prison, is sin. Nobody ever escaped out of that prison on their own. If sin has you a prisoner, you can be sure you will not escape. Only the Lord can come and set the prisoner free. So if there's a sin problem in your life, to turn to Christ and say, Lord, You're the one who could set me free. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord gives sight to the blind, watches over the alien, fatherless, widow, those who don't have normal means. And He does it. And how great He is. And I think Revelation says this. It says, salvation belongs to the Lamb. And sometimes I've seen God work in people's life. Maybe they're driving down the road in the car, and all of a sudden they realize their need for Christ. They pull over the side of the road crying and say, Lord, be my Lord. There's stories of people trusting Christ that way. That's God's single-handed work of salvation. And you hear this morning, God may work in your life that way, single-handedly. You come to church, people around you think, that guy's a Christian, he came to church. God knows otherwise. His Holy Spirit comes to you, knocks on the door of your heart. He says, I stand at the door and knock. If you open the door, I come in. And you open the door. It's a wonderful work of God that He would do for any heart here this morning. A work of salvation, single-handedly rising you from the dead, a spiritual death. What a Savior He is. How grateful we are that the Lord would do that for us. It's a gift. Many times, this is just my little lean, and it wouldn't be a blessing to everyone, but to some. Sometimes I believe grace is irresistible. That once God decides to do a work in a person's life, you can count on some wonderful blessings occurring. And that's just His way. The work of salvation, single-handed by Christ. We trust Him by faith. And then the last great work is His second coming. The work of consummation is just like creation. When all things come to an end, and history as we know it shuts down, Jesus alone will be standing. King of Kings, taking the initiative, making it happen. And when I anticipate Christ's second coming, I'm like the apostles. I get excited. I want details and I want time charts. When can I be ready so I can get my family ready and church and neighbors and such? And the apostles were like that. They asked Jesus in Acts chapter 1, Lord, at this time, are You going to restore the kingdom to Israel? That's what I would ask. Lord, is it 2006? here at this time? Jesus answers the question. He says, you know, it's not for you to know the time. The times or the dates set by my Father, by His own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses to the end of the earth. And we have a call when we think of Christ's second coming. He will come when He's ready. When the Father says, go, He's on His way. What a glorious day that will be. Live in anticipation of that. That's, you were born to enjoy God today and in the future like that. But when He comes back, it'll be His single-handed work. And it reminds me of the story of four teenagers left alone at home. And the parents said, we'll be back soon. Until we come back, we want you to mow the lawn, wash the car, take this soup to neighbors who are not feeling well. The teens were excited. We get to run the place for a while. The Lord's not here. That's the way we feel about our lives sometimes. It doesn't work. They say, I wonder when Mom and Dad are coming back. I think they're coming back at 7. I think they're coming back at 2. Someone else said, they're coming through the front door. No, they're coming through the back door. Let's set up watches so we see who's right about this. In the meantime, they're not getting done what the parents, of course, said to do. And you and I, as we anticipate the Lord and say, Lord, Jesus, come soon, and we know He comes at an hour we do not expect Him, we want to say, well, let's expectantly serve. How happy the Master will be, the Bible says, when He does return, He finds the servants doing what He asked them to do. Share His gospel, His love. Join Him in His work. He comes in an hour we do not expect Him. And a wonderful blessing of seeing God's single-handed works, I think it reminds us of a verse in Hebrews that He builds. He's building. And sometimes we get to see that happen. It reminds me of my music teacher in 7th and 8th grade. I was in the band for a whole 2 years, had a very strong commitment for a whole 2 years. But had a music teacher, Mr. Wysocki, Polish fellow, many great Polish musicians. And I played the clarinet, and Mr. Wysocki said, play your clarinet, go ahead. I play a few notes, squeak, squawk, good notes, bad notes, that's the best I can do, all I can do. Sometimes Mr. Wysocki, he gets out his clarinet, let me play with you. Oh, that's good. I hear his good music. I play with him. I feel I get a little better because he helps me to cover up my squeaks and squawks there. But sometimes what happened, which was really life-changing, Mr. Wysocki would say, put your clarinet down. I'm going to play my clarinet. And you watch and listen. And he played, and such music out of a clarinet I never heard from myself. And a 13-year-older, you know, didn't think adults knew too much. But my 13-year-old jaw dropped when I heard Mr. Wysocki play a solo work. And I said, well, this is amazing. You know, I can trust such a one. And when we know God does what He does alone, We bow our knee. We say, well, can I follow then? I certainly can trust such a Lord as this who loves us. He's the builder of everything, the book of Hebrews says. And we can follow after Him because of all the great works He does. And we get to admire for all eternity. Thank you for being a great work of God, created in His image, building you His church. As His bride. Let's follow Him and let Him reign in all our words, thoughts, and activities. Let's pray as His people. Father, we wonder what to do before Your self. First thing we do, would we receive Your love and put our trust in You. This would be a step of faith for some here this morning. we prayed, Father, before the service that anybody who didn't know Christ would say, Christ is for me. I trust Him. And it might be a work that you do in their heart. You literally bring out a second birth for some here today. And also, Father, for us who want to follow You, help us to know Your great works that You do. You're doing them all the time. When You call us to join You, we're delighted. If You weren't to call us to join You, we'd still be totally amazed at such amazing grace and how great You are. Just Your character, seen in what You do, change our hearts and increase our faith in You, that we might trust and obey in all our days. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.